Hey everybody, this is your host, LaVie. Welcome to Thrift Therapy, the podcast all about thrift life. Recycling, collecting, DIYing, all the ups and downs, ins and outs of thrifting. So glad you joined me for this thrift adventure. Hey thrifters, welcome back to another episode of Thrift Therapy Podcast. Thrilled to be here. Got some stuff to share with you. I am going to talk with Brenda from Chicago about thrift life up there. Her handle on Instagram is Chic City Girl. You may know her, follow her. If not, go do that right now. And I will also tell you about a thrift trip I took to Chicago where I actually got to meet Brenda in real life. Whee! Thrift friends! Which was fun, and some of the finds that I found there. And I also will give you an update on the behind-the-scenes things that are going on here at Thrift Therapy Podcast. All right, let's get into it. Well, the sad news about the sponsorship is that nothing's changed since the last time we chatted. I find this really disappointing, but honestly, I understand that when you take a break from a project, you lose traction. So I know it's part of the experience of that. I just think it's unfortunate that it works that way, especially when Anchor has been previously so responsive and so great at making this show fun and deliverable and easy to make money on. And now that I want to donate the money, I can't get it. That's bumming me out. Anchor, help. I emailed them again today just to see if I can get some support while trying to unlock the mystery, because according to their own website and their own informationals and the replies that I got previously from support, I meet all the criteria for at least the first level of sponsorship, which I think is promoting Anchor. So I don't know. We'll see what happens. Nevertheless, I've decided to keep coming up with backup ideas in the meantime for how to raise some money. And I think what I'm going to do is offer a November thrift bag, and it's going to be a limited time only. It's going to work through my website, Thrift Therapy Pod, and you can purchase it with PayPal or Zelle or Venmo or whatever. You just need to email me at thrifttherapypod@gmail.com and let me know if you would like a thrift bag. Now what this is I'll send you three thrifted items in your size. You just got to tell me what your size is. And it's $40, free shipping in the U.S. If you're outside the U.S., so just pay the additional shipping. I can invoice you for that. And it's basically like a mystery box. I have saved only my best vintage while I was in hiatus. I donated a lot of it, and I sold out of a lot of it, and then I had a yard sale recently, and I cleared out a lot of the other items that weren't the best ones. So what I have now to send people is really primo stuff. I have sizes extra small to large, extra large actually. And so that's about as inclusive as I can be right now, because I don't want to go buy a bunch of new stock. I'm trying to raise money, not spend it. And if there's somebody out there who needs a extra, extra small or an extra, extra large, and you want me to shop for you, we can work something out. Maybe it could be like a $50 donation gift bag, and I will send it to you. Now, what I was thinking is, because it does cost some money to do this project with the thrift bags, I'll donate half of the proceeds from every thrift bag to Black Lives Matter. So I think that's going to raise some extra money for the cause for this season. So if you're interested in purchasing a thrift bag for me, I would love to send you one. I will announce when it opens and when it closes, because it'll be a very small window of time that you can purchase a gift bag, over on my Instagram page, Thrift Therapy Style, and then the podcast Instagram page, which is Thrift Therapy Pod. And then I will also announce it on Facebook in the Facebook group, which is called Thrift Therapy. If you haven't joined the Facebook group, go do that. There's a lot of cool people in there. All right. Well, I mean, we'll just keep going, right? Ever since I started this podcast, it's just roll with the twists and turns, try new things, be creative, have fun. That's what the show is all about. So I'm not terribly bothered, but I do want to find ways to not profit from the persons who come on the podcast, but to donate the money that it generates to charitable causes. I feel like if I'm going to keep doing this show, that's the way I want to go. So I'm going to make it happen, you guys. I'm going to make it happen. I'm not going to give up. Oh, yeah. I got to stop saying you guys. It's so 90s of me. I got to update. All right. Well, I think that's enough of the business. I want to tell you about my thrift trip to Chicago. Now, I've had several thrift trips to Chicago because my son lives there. And I have met some really cool people when I've been up there. Shout out Windy City Thrifter, who took me all around Chicago to a whole bunch of thrift stores. And I really appreciated that. And we've stayed in correspondence. And I hope to see you again soon, Caitlin. Recently, I got to meet two other thrifters the last time I was in Chicago, which was in October. No, September. I got to meet Brenda from Chic City Girl, who we're going to be talking with today. And I got to meet Paisley, who is one of the Instagram thrifters that I follow online. And we met up at a thrift store and we shopped and we chatted and we had a hilarious time. We totally forgot to take pictures. I snapped a quick selfie of us, the three of us. And then Paisley and I went over to a bar and had a couple drinks after. But Brenda had to go catch a flight. Like, what a trooper she was for coming out and meeting up with me. And you know what? I had flown in just that day too. So we're a bunch of jet setters, right? That was cool. I flew in, she was flying out, and we managed to get a thrift in. What I want to share with you is that these two girls are really cool. I had such a great time with them. It was a short meetup, but I was there to move my son, so I didn't have a lot of time anyway. Maybe next time I'll organize something a little more elaborate. But we did some shopping. Now, Brenda didn't really buy much because she was traveling, but we did each find some cute things. I want to tell you that I did find an epic piece. I found a long, beautiful, reversible plaid wool cape. Now, this cape is stunning. We were all super stoked that I found it, and it was like $8. I'm gonna put a picture of it up on the website so you can see it because it is so grand. Nobody else found anything as grand as that, or I would talk about that too. It was kind of the winner, you know? It was just like, that's it, we're done here. We rocked the store. Everybody clap. Woo! It was the thrift find. And so I haven't got to wear it yet because it hasn't been cold enough here. Maybe I'll just model it or something. You know, I don't do enough of that, I guess. All the pictures I post of outfits on Instagram are because I'm actually wearing that to work that day. I don't do like photo shoots or anything fancy like that. I don't think I have the interest in that, but maybe just for the cape, right? So I do want you to see it. But the highlight of those thrift trips is just meeting up with thrifters that I chat with online and getting to put a personality with their online presence and the things that we talk about, their real life personality, the multidimensional them, the full self that you can sort of just feel the texture of in person only, you know? So it was really nice. I mean, we wore our masks and stuff, but it was nice to be in a space that I sometimes felt like last year I would never be in again, which is real life thrifting with people I met on the internet having a total blast. Before the pandemic, I was traveling all around Texas and going to different places in the country, meeting people and meeting up with thrifters and just hanging out and have a good time. You know, I really enjoyed that and I had planned on doing a lot more of that, but you know, things got stalled, so maybe I didn't think I would get to do it again. And so it was just really exciting to put that fear to bed. Now you can do this again. If you want to have a meetup in your city and you want me to come visit you, message me. Let me know. You never know, it could happen. I've been thinking of maybe going to Colorado and seeing if Lexi's available. She's fun. And I thought she could show me around if she's available. Anyway, there are places I want to go. So if you want me to come, let's chat. I would love to meet thrifters around the country. I will be in Europe. It seems like it's either going to be January coming up really soon, but we're trying to push for April or May because the weather's miserable in January. So I will be in Europe, so it's not out of the question. Hit me up, send me some ideas about where I should go thrifting, and we'll just be global thrifters. We'll be cosmopolitan thrifters. Well, that was a fun chat. I do want to tell you about my guest. I don't want to just keep blah, blah, blabbing. I know you're excited to get to the interview and hear the conversations that we had there. Brenda was so much fun. We had some really good, hilarious things to talk about. Let me tell you all about Brenda. Now, Brenda's a style influencer. She's living in Chicago and she has an amazing blog called Chic City Girl on WordPress. I highly recommend you go check it out and subscribe to it. Her latest post is Furs in Your Closet, or A Closet Full of Furs is what the name of the post is. And it's inspired me to dig through my coats and see what I have that's on trend for the season and prioritize wearing them as soon as possible. Now it's still hot where I am, so Brenda, I'm gonna have to put a pause on that, but I'm totally inspired. And you can follow her on Instagram at The Chic City Girl. She has a daily style diary there that's really great. And she's a maximalist, but kind of with a professional bend. If you're a working person who needs some inspo, Brenda might have it for you. Very colorful, very chic, tailored pieces. And she has a series on Instagram on Friday afternoons, a live series called Talk is Chic. She has thrifters on to talk about their thrift style, much like the podcast here, but it's a live impromptu video chat. So that could be really fun for you to add to your list of thriftspiration, as we all need when we are in our cars or on our lunch break or shopping at the thrift store. You know, whenever you need a little inspiration, Brenda might have it for you. So I recommend going to check her out on her socials. I will post some link at the show notes so you can find her. I'm going to put a break here for our sponsors. If they ever come back, this is where they'll go. All right, be right back. Hi, Brenda. Welcome to Thrift Therapy.
Hi, Lavi. Thank you so much for having me. I'm super excited.
Me too. I've been looking at your stuff on Instagram and following your challenges, and that's what made me really want to talk to you. It's like, oh, she knows what's up in the thrifting world.
Thank you.
So I'm excited too. Listen, I want you to tell us how thrifting became a part of your life and what it was like for you growing up.
Sure. So I am actually newer to thrifting. I know a lot of people grew up thrifting, but I did not. However, I was not a stranger to secondhand clothing. And growing up, my mom had friends that had daughters that were a little bit older than my sister and I. So as they grew out of their clothes, we would like inherit them, and then we in turn would pass on some of our clothes. So I'm familiar with secondhand fashion, but not with thrifting. We didn't actually go to thrift stores. The first time I went to a thrift store was actually in high school, because I knew some of my friends that went to thrift stores, but I really didn't have a good experience then. It was very gritty, very really disorganized and things like that. And this was years ago because I was in high school. So fast forward to about 5 years ago, I was looking at a program and I saw a woman who took vintage and thrifted clothing, and she would take it apart and then reconstruct it in these amazing ways. And I was so impressed. I reached out to her via social media and we connected, and she ended up coming here to Chicago for a visit, and we went thrifting. And that's really when I really got into thrifting like hardcore. So for the past 5 years, actually, I've been thrifting pretty, well, I'd say regularly. Yes, I would say most of now what I purchase is now through the thrift stores versus retail.
Oh, well done. That's a good transition story from, you know, just consumer-based fashion to that sustainability model. I like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So since I found you on Instagram, and that means I'm looking at your outfits all the time, right? Like, that's part of the fun of thrifting, I think, is having unique style.
Yes, I agree.
What made you want to share your style with the world? Like, why Instagram?
Well, I liked seeing other people. I think style is a form of art, a way of expression, and for me, that's my outlet. I don't, you know, draw or paint or anything like that, but getting dressed is my way of expressing myself. And so I wanted to participate in that with other people on Instagram to connect with like-minded people, because truth be told, people that I know in my, I'll say, real life, for lack of a better term, aren't necessarily as into fashion and style as much as I am. So on Instagram, I was able to connect with people that were just as enthusiastic about it and saw it the way that I saw it. And then also, one of the other reasons I wanted to get on Instagram was really to try to encourage other people in as far as expressing themselves style-wise, because I think sometimes we can feel like it's not for us. Maybe that we are excluded or left out. And I wanted people to know, you know what, I'm doing it, so you can do it too. I'm just a person that loves getting dressed like everybody else, and we can all participate in it. So that's kind of what my process or my thoughts were around getting on Instagram. It definitely wasn't like, ooh, look at me, hey, aren't I cute? It was more like, hey, this is what I feel today. This is what I want to express today, and I'd love to see what you want to express too.
I like that. I mean, sometimes I post a picture and I do think, oh, look at me, I'm cute. You know? But I gotta say, most days I'm just like, look at this rad shirt. Can you imagine this belt?
Yeah.
Like, it's so cool, right? It's more about these found pieces of art.
Agreed.
I agree that fashion is art. And I like to watch those fashion creation shows like Project Runway,
yes.
You know, making the cut, things like that, because it's fun to see the artist behind the look go to work.
Yes,
you know?
I agree. I love all of those shows, because it's like the creativity that's in someone's mind, you get to actually see it, which I think is just awesome. And everyone has creativity, and everyone has something inside that no one else can see. So I love seeing the end result of that too.
Yes, I love the voicing of your internal ideas. Mm-hmm. That's a really powerful part of art. And one of the things that I enjoy about art in general, just to diverge away from fashion right now, is that it is really that internal narrative. And then when you see someone else's internal narrative that sort of speaks to you, you don't feel so alone in the world. You feel seen, you feel heard, and you feel connected.
Yes,
right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. That is the greatest thing about Instagram, is the connections between people. That is the number one thing for me, that, again, it's like a community of people that are creative and just want to express themselves. And it's a beautiful thing. It's like there's not one flower that's perfect. There are many, many flowers that are perfect. And so it's just exciting to celebrate other people and just to see what comes out of them.
I agree. It is kind of a celebration. It's like, hey, I see you. I love that. I would 100% wear that. Or also, and I see that. That's wild. I would never even think to wear that. That's even cooler. You know, it's like you can celebrate the differences, but also see the similarities between people so much easier, I think, through the lens of social media.
Yep, definitely. I agree 100%.
What about the thrifting scene where you live? What's going on with it? First of all, what's going on with the people in your life who don't thrift or have style? I feel a little sad about that.
Well, there are people that have style. My mom has style. That's where I got my, you know, style bug from. She was always dragging us around to fabric stores and things like that. She taught us how to sew and all that. So there's definitely style in my family, but just not, they're just not into it as much as I am. So.
Okay, so. Right. You're just saying they pale in comparison, right?
Yes,
it's
just
the,
yes.
It's not the same. Okay. But your mom, right? Like, she had the bug. She kind of, it sounds like she taught you what you know.
Yes. Yeah, definitely. My mom grew up in like the 50s and 60s. And so that's part of why I love vintage so much, because it's a throwback to my mom's era with where women wore, you know, the dresses and the gloves and hats and all those little details. When I was little, I had one of those muffs where you put your, you know, put your hands in. And so, yeah, my mom definitely planted those seeds in me. That she was my first inspiration, definitely style wise. Of course, she's not as obsessed as I am. It's definitely an obsession. With me.
Okay. I identify with that. I'm much more obsessed than anyone in my family, for sure. But they're all pretty fashionable, I have to say. They've got, you know, good taste, maybe, is what I would say. Now, yes, I don't know that I have good taste, because my fashion sense really goes to, you know, I think it's more eclectic than anyone in my family. They all tend to be a little bit more homogenous in their style choice, like, you know, they're wearing the nicely tailored outfits with the matching shoes and bag, and that look is not for me.
Yep. Yeah. But no, yours is fun and exciting. And like you said, eclectic. And it's art. Well, it's all art. But yours is like, wow, this is awesome. So it's fun. It's exciting. I can say that from my perspective.
Well, thank you for that. I do try to see myself as kind of a painting. So that's what the vibe that I like to have. It's like, if I died right now, what kind of painting does my outfit look like? Does it represent my soul or my spirit or my identity, you know, in some way? I want to be seen even when I'm dead. So.
No, I love that. That's great. That's great.
Now, your handle on Instagram is the Chic City Girl. And I got to say, I think that's a real good fit for you, because I think your style is chic. It's got this certain kind of a working woman vibe to it, you know, like it's structured. How do you describe your style?
I like the word chic because it's not like necessarily fashion, because it's more about style and it's more about, for me, I guess, sophisticated, a little bit, I don't know if it's really conservative. My style continues to evolve, but I think kind of the underlying theme is usually a bit of sophistication. I like tailoring. I like pieces that fit well and complement my body type and things like that. And I like, just from my own, like my personality, I like to feel pulled together. And so I like a jacket. I like, you know, something that's buttoned. It just helps me feel pulled together. And I think part of that is not only just my personality, but also I've worked in financial industries my entire career. And so part of it is a carryover from that, where I want to be, to a degree, I want to be taken seriously. I want people to understand that, you know, I'm present in the room. I know what I'm talking about, all those kind of things. So it's all of that kind of mixed together. So it's hard for me to pick, you know, a single word. I think it's more of a range of things. But like I said, it's kind of that underlying theme of more of a classic type of silhouette. I love Coco Chanel and the pieces that she made. They're very elegant, but they're also timeless. So I tend to kind of gravitate toward those. I certainly love more eclectic type of styles and things like that. I love print and color, but then if you think about like the silhouettes and things, those tend to be a little more along the classic lines. I wear blazers like all the time. I love blazers. So I think that was kind of all over the place.
No, I can see that. When I look at your feet, I see all those things. I see them all. Let me say the words that came to me as you were describing all of that, which would be chic, right? Timeless, mm-hmm. right? Powerful, right? Commands mm-hmm. attention, right? Like I feel mm-hmm. that. Colorful, mm-hmm. tailored, structured. But I think when I look at your page, I can see the eclecticism there as well. Look, if you were a lawyer, you were the lawyer I would want to represent me. I would go, her. You've got the hats, you've got the florals, you've got the neons, you've got the, mm-hmm. you know, the mm-hmm. out there sort of fabrication, right? Like yeah. the funky mm-hmm. prints and, you know, there's a story being told with your clothes. And I don't think the story is stuffy conservative financial consultant or, you know, whatever your title mm-hmm. is. I don't think it's that. Mm-hmm. I'm not, mm-hmm. that's not the story I'm hearing.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was, well, and my style has evolved over time because, you know, I realized in some situations I'd be the only person that looked like me in the room. Mm-hmm. So people are going to look at me anyway. So why not make it memorable? And then also, it got to be boring to wear just black and navy and gray all the time.
It is.
I was just like, oh my gosh, I can't. I mean, I love, don't get me wrong, I love an all black outfit. I love it. I feel like it kind of cleanses the palate. Mm-hmm. But just every day and just being surrounded by gray and navy and black, I'm like, no, I got to do something. I got to do pink. I got to do orange. I got to do something.
I'm with you. I remember way back in the day when I was in my early 20s, my partner and I moved in with my best friend and her partner. Mm-hmm. And I remember helping her unpack her clothes in her closet and organize it. And I was like, girl, this is the saddest closet I've ever seen. It was all beige and white mm-hmm. and gray mm-hmm. and black mm-hmm. and like one red shirt. She had one red shirt. And then we went and unpacked my closet and she goes, it's like mm-hmm. a circus in here. mm-hmm. And so when I walk in my closet right now, and just ever since then, I walk in and I go, here's my circus. This is my circus. And if it doesn't yeah. look enough like a circus, I feel like I've done something wrong.
Oh, yeah. I agree. I think it should be fun. You should be excited when you see your clothes. And your story is similar to mine. When I was in college, my roommate dressed like in all like black or olive or khaki. And our closets were aligned. And it was so funny because hers was very like quiet and mine was like pink and orange and blue and turquoise. And
and it's funny that you said that word quiet because, you know, it made me think of, well, our personalities kind of matched our closets, too. I was definitely, mm-hmm. like you were saying, much louder. My friend mm-hmm. was more quiet, mm-hmm. you know, just more subdued, I would say. But the funny thing is that we actually had some of the same outfits because we worked for the same company that sold clothing, okay. some of the mm-hmm. same shoes. It's just that we didn't do anything the same with those things, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. which I think was maybe why we were friends, right? It's that I guess when you're like sort of the loud creator mm-hmm. and you take up a lot of space, right? Like you said before, yeah. everybody's looking at you anyway, so occupy, mm-hmm. right?
Yep, yep. But the thing is, I'm an introvert, though.
Oh.
So I dress like an extrovert, but I'm actually an introvert.
Okay. So, that's, yep. Well, you know, I wasn't thinking of it more as, I guess I wasn't thinking about it that way, like introvert, extrovert, but that's a good point. Mm-hmm. I do think of it, like you were saying, more like maybe who wants to be seen and who doesn't want to be seen, who wants to, my bestie at this point in my life, she says she has a constant issue with not wanting to be seen or heard. And it's something that she works on. And mm-hmm. Sometimes she goes through these really loud outfit phases. where she's really where I can tell, oh, she's working on that thing where she wants to hide. Mm-hmm. She's trying not to hide right now. It's kind of like a glimpse into someone's inner function, right? Like where they're at. So if you're introverted and you have loud clothes, what can I learn about you from that?
You know, that's a good question. I think, well, that's part of who I don't know. Is that who I am on the inside? I think, you know, once you get to know me, I'm not an introvert. Mm. So maybe it's like, hey, I'm kind of over here, you know, just kind of chilling out, kind of quiet, but you really want to come get to know me.
So it's an invitation. I like
maybe
that.
Maybe that's what it is. Yeah. Yeah. That could be.
Well,
what's today I learned?
Thrift therapy.
That's right.
Well, I did my job. I guess I'll see you later. No, I have more questions. Okay, so I know there are some people out there listening to the podcast who are like, that's me. I'm that person. It's if you get to know me, there's a lot to know, but you've got to come to me because I'm not the person who's going to come to you. Okay, how do they shop the look? How do they get this invitation to know me vibe when they go thrifting?
Well, you know, I was thinking about that, and I think it's different for every person. I think it's like, what inspires you? What are you inspired by? And if you choose based on what you're inspired by, then I think that that's going to translate. And that's going to give people a little bit of insight into who you are. Because everyone is inspired by different things. I'm inspired by like nature. I like flowers. Especially like fall colors. I like the leaves when they change, things like that. So that's what inspires me. But then other people could be inspired by any other number of things. It could be, I don't know. It could be buildings or architecture, even though I'm inspired by that too. So I think if you look for what kind of speaks to you, because I try to check, because I'm trying not to consume as much. And that's a trick with thrifting, because things are so inexpensive. You're like, oh, it's only $2. It's only $3. Well, I'll get it. But I'm trying to be more aware of, is this something that I like because I really like it and it speaks to me and I get this reaction? Or is it like, oh, it's $4. I think if you focus on that reaction, I always look for that, when I see something, that means I really like it. It really touches me. And then I pick that. And then I think that will give people an idea of kind of who you are by what inspires you.
Okay. So to get the Brenda vibe, before I go shopping, I might need to get inspired. Because I don't want to be just shopping for the heck of it, right? Like I don't want to just be buying to buy. I want to have some kind of feeling that I can connect to. And then I go into the thrift store and I look at the racks and I'm not looking for just a $4 thing. I'm looking for something that gives me a visceral reaction like that's me. Mm-hmm. Is that right?
Yes, it is. Absolutely.
Yep. I'm going to do that. I'll get back to you.
Okay.
I'll tag you and I'll be like, inspired by Brenda. Inspired by the Chic City Girl.
Awesome. Now, you know, I don't know, because we started talking about art and stuff like that. You asked me about the shopping vibe in Chicago, and I don't know if I answered that question.
Yeah, what's the thrifting scene like there?
It's actually really good, I would say, because we've got a lot of variety. We have the larger, I'll call them the chain stores, like the Goodwill, Salvation Army. But then we also have a lot of smaller stores that are around in different neighborhoods and different suburbs and things like that. And one of the things I do, if I'm in an area that I don't frequent, I'll just Google like thrift stores near me, and you never know what you'll come across. I also like estate sales as well. So it's definitely a lot. It's a lot of variety. So kind of depending on your comfort level with thrifting, I tell people, you know what, if you're new to it, maybe you want to go to like a Goodwill first, because those tend to be a little more like organized and things like that, versus some of the other thrift stores that are a little bit gritty. You know, maybe you're going to have to, you know, look underneath a rack or something to find some things that folks have hidden, different things like that. So we have a real good variety of thrifting. So whatever your comfort level is with thrifting, I think you can find it here.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've done some thrifting in Chicago. In fact, I'm going to be there soon, and I plan to do some more thrifting. And I found I did go to places that are cheap, because I'm the person who's looking for the four. In fact, I'm looking for the $1 shirt. Where is it? I want it. And if it's loud, I really want it. So I found some really great thrift shops in Chicago that have great price points. One of my favorite ones, well, there are two, I think. I love the Brown Elephant. It's not, to me, it's organized like a Goodwill or Salvation Army. It has similar price points. They had tons of furniture there, and I was like,
they do.
How do I get this to Texas? I didn't come up with anything, but if you need furniture and you're in the Chicago area, go to the Brown Elephant. Shout out. And also, I really like their mission there, which was, you know, they, at the time, they were really supporting healthcare for underprivileged persons. So shout out to the Brown Elephant. And I really love the Family Tree Resale, I think is what it's called. Family Tree Resale.
Oh, yes. I've heard of that. I haven't been there, but I've heard of it. And I thank you for reminding me, because I'm going to put that down so I can make sure that I go there.
And what is your favorite place? Like, where do you, what's your favorite go-to thrift place?
Honestly, my favorite place is Salvation Army. And I know it's a, you know, one that's well known, but I really like on Saturdays, they have like 75% off on certain colors and then 50% off of another. But I think, and I'm not sure why that is, but I just like Salvation Army, I think the best, actually. I think I find some good vintage there. You have to dig for it, but I have found some good vintage. I think I find better vintage there than like at a Goodwill. I think more people know about Goodwill, so they tend to be more picked over. But, and now, of course, I've told everybody now that I find better vintage at Salvation Army. But yeah.
Well, you know, we'll keep your secret. So the vintage, I get that. Where else do you shop for vintage? You have some awesome vintage.
They do. Like,
where do you, what's your favorite vintage stores? Now Chicago has a lot of those, right? Like they're not thrift shops; they're vintage stores, right? What do you think the difference is, and what's your favorite one?
Well, the difference between the vintage stores and the thrift stores is that the vintage stores are curated, and they're specifically focused on vintage. Where thrifted is just pre-owned, and you can get some of everything in there. You can find Zara, you can find Forever 21 at the thrift store, you can find some of everything. But the vintage stores are more curated. So my favorite vintage store is Knee Deep Vintage, which is in Pilsen. That's just my go-to. They have the most, I love vintage dresses. They have the most incredible vintage dresses. They're just absolutely beautiful. And I've known the guy who runs it since they first started. They started like 13 years ago. And I've been going there since day one. And he has such an incredible eye. And he has just a really great collection of vintage. And not just dresses, but the whole gamut. They have men and women's as well. And then there are a lot of individual sellers that don't necessarily have stores, but they come to a lot of the pop-ups, which I had told you about. There's one tomorrow, the Vintage Garage, which has a lot of different vendors that come in from different places, sometimes from, you know, nearby states that they come in and they sell for that day or that weekend. And I find a lot of good vintage that way. And I get connected with a lot of good vintage dealers that way too.
Well, I'm glad you brought up pop-ups because I think that's one of the areas of thrift I know the least about, which is odd because I've done a couple pop-ups. Like, why don't I know about it? I don't know. But I was invited to do them. So I said yes. But I only know about that one market here in town. How do you find vintage pop-ups? Like, what's the recipe for tracking a seller? You know, I don't know even the right questions to ask. Tell us more about vintage pop-ups, Brenda.
Well, you know, it's about getting on different mailing lists. And as you meet different vendors, they'll typically say, oh, you know what, I'm going to be at this pop-up in 2 weeks or next month or something like that. So when you get connected with people and you get on their mailing list, they can tell you where they will be next. That's typically where I find them. Or we have a lot of different like neighborhood like publications, like let's say the West Loop Alliance is an area here. And then they will tell you when they're having different events. There's also another market called the Randolph Street Market, which is in the West Loop. And I found them through one of those publications. So if there are local like neighborhood newsletters or newspapers or websites, I always sign up for their emails, and they will send you notifications through Instagram. Also, I got one today about a pop-up that's going to be happening here next weekend. So it's really connecting with those different sellers and, again, being familiar with maybe different areas that have individual emails and newsletters and things like that.
Okay, that's good advice. Now, to find these mailing lists, is that like you just give it a Goog or you like use social media? Like, how do you find pop-up, you know, sellers to get on their list?
Well, I think it's a combination. Google, you can find a lot of things through Google. You can find, like, I will Google, like, fashion pop-ups near me or fashion pop-up Chicago, put in the month. You can find a lot of things that way. But again, I think when you go to markets, ask the people that you meet there. And most of them have some type of mailing list, or they can tell you about different pop-ups as well. And then also Instagram too. So I try everything. I ask everybody.
Okay, that's cool. So you just have to, you know, sort of connect, it sounds like, and be talking to people in that industry, and it sort of gives you a little bit more. Okay, so I see that I have made a grievous error in not staying more connected to the people that I did the pop-up with. Yeah. And I need to do that. I need to do that. Call to action.
And then even people that buy a lot of vintage, I don't know if you know Joya's Closet. She told me about...
I do.
Okay, she knows it. She knows them all. So she tells me about different things that are happening. So people that are really into vintage, a lot of times they know about different pop-ups too. She knows about them in different states. I mean, she's really serious about it. So she knows about the things that are happening in New York. Like Manhattan Vintage is a pop-up that's there often. So if you know people that really are into vintage and buy a lot of vintage, they're a good resource too for pop-ups, for different places to buy, different websites to buy from. So people that love vintage, too, I would say, are also a good resource.
So you're the second person who's mentioned Joy, and I do follow her on Instagram, and she's an excellent curator.
Yeah. No, awesome.
She's in the
great.
Know. So
she's
I'm thinking great. I need to have her on the show, like good at hunting down the people who have the things. So that's a skill, it sounds like. If you want to get into the vintage pop-up world, it sounds like it'd be really good to look at who's doing that thing in your area that you think is doing it the way you want to do it and get to know them. And hopefully they're collaborative, like a lot of the people in the vintage community are. In the thrift community, and they'll want to help you figure out how to get the things and make the money and be that connected person in that world. That's my hope. I think that's good information to have.
Yeah, definitely.
So thank you.
Absolutely.
With thinking about thrift culture where you live, and you especially have an affinity for, it sounds like, looking into vintage and connecting with people there. Do you have any sustainability issues that are really important to you right now that you want to talk about?
Yeah, I do have a couple that are pretty consistent with me. It's really about the environment. It really concerns me the impact that fast fashion is having on our planet, on our resources. It's really a point of concern for me because we don't have another planet. This is it. So the fact that we are putting so much into landfills, not only are we stripping resources on the front end, but then we are dumping things on the back end, and our planet can't hold all of the discarded clothing. We're going to pay for it sooner or later. We're already paying for it, but we're going to pay for it in a major way. And I think it's really reckless and it's irresponsible to do this to our planet. It's crazy. So that's one issue. And then the other issue is the people issue. And what really brought this to light for me was when I saw the documentary, The True Cost. And what prompted me to even kind of look for it was when the garment workers in Bangladesh were killed in the collapse. There were like 1,100 people that died in that garment factory. And it just blew my mind. And then I saw the documentary about the true cost, and you got to see how the conditions that the people work under and how they live on a day-to-day basis. The toxins that they're exposed to make a pair of shoes that cost $15. No one should die for fashion. That's crazy. As much as I love getting dressed and I love style and I love clothes, no one should die for fashion. No one should still be struggling to live for fashion, still living, you know, without running water, having their children under their desks for 12 hours as they work their shift, having their safety threatened because they're in buildings that are not safe for clothes. No, that's too much. But I think, and then I'll get off my soapbox after this. I think that the real question or the real issue that has to be addressed is this insatiable need that we have as human beings for more. That's what's causing this to continue to churn. This whole concept of what I have today isn't good enough tomorrow. I need the next thing. How do we stop that? Because we have to stop the demand.
I don't think we can, because I think it's intrinsic to our drive to live. But I do think we can redirect that in more productive ways like we have in the past. You know, it's a survival instinct, I think, that we don't have to work hard enough to survive now, those of us who are consuming all this shit, you know? And I think that that's wayward. It's wayward. We got to harness that make a podcast.
Yeah.
Stop buying people shit, make a podcast. You know, stop buying people shit and build something. You know, we got to put that energy back to work for us instead of against us. I think that's just my take.
Yeah, no, I agree. So, yeah. So those are my big issues. And I will say that I used to be, I guess I'll say I was a big fast fashion person. I used to shop at Zara mostly. I hope I don't get in trouble for saying that. And my reason for that was because, you know, I love style. I watch all the runway shows, and Zara had that same kind of aesthetic, but at a different price point. And prior to thrifting, I didn't really think about that. That I saw that as the viable option where I could have, again, that aesthetic, but not necessarily the price point. But now what I realized with thrifting is you can thrift, you can find everything in the thrift store. You don't need that.
Yep.
You can
even
find
Zara.
It yes.
Even Zara.
It's true. But
I hear what you're saying. Go ahead.
Yeah. I was just going to say, you know, when you know better, you do better. So, yeah. It's not necessary. It's not necessary.
And I grew up in the fast fashion era, and I worked for fast fashion stores, in my first career in retail. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. So I hear you. And honestly, I think there is some place where fast fashion was useful. It broke open the financial barriers to mm-hmm. fashion, and mm-hmm. it made it accessible to your everyday person. Because mm-hmm. when I grew up, my mom had to traipse to the Neiman Marcus, and she would take her little sketch pad and she would draw out things that I wanted. Mm-hmm. And then we would go back to my house and she would make that shit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Right? We could afford that. Mm-hmm. And then along in my teenage years comes Contempo Casuals, and I feel liberated. Right?
Yes.
But then I'm a 13, 14-year-old looking mm-hmm. like I want to look like everyone else. And then right mm-hmm. about the same time you started thrifting, right, and you had the bad experience, I had the good experience of, oh, my God, this is my world. These are look at these clothes. They're so unique. I can be myself. Mm-hmm. And they were cheap. I could afford them.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So I do think that it just, again, it's something that went wayward. It's when people mm-hmm. started realizing how much money they could make.
Yeah.
With fast fashion, the people who have the money went in and capitalized on that. Mm-hmm. And they gutted that mm-hmm. Industry, and mm-hmm. they've exploited it. Just like, in my opinion, I don't mean to sound conspiratory or anything, mm-hmm. but mm-hmm. in my opinion, people with wealth regularly exploit mm-hmm. those of us who don't have it. Mm-hmm. And the things mm-hmm. that we need and want are the gateway to mm-hmm. exploit us now.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I agree. And what you said made me think of something. The person that runs Zara has an enormous amount of money. And I remember thinking, if you took 10% of what you're worth, you could reinvest that then into safer factories, into safer processing, into better wages and better living for your workers. And it really wouldn't impact his standard of living
you're
at all.
You're still rich.
Yes. Yes. So you're right. There is another way to do it. There's a yep. more conscious way to do it. But like you said, the people that are wealthy want to exploit the rest of us. I think so.
It's greed. It's greed. It's just plain old greed.
It is. You're right.
Agreed. I guess they want to go to the moon like every other billionaire. I'm so over that shit. I can't even tell you.
I'm just so aggravated by that. Aggravated by that.
Like, fuck you, Richard Branson. Fuck you, Elon Musk. I mean, I hate them. They're the worst. It's such a wank fest. I can't even.
I'm like, the egos. Are you kidding me? Do you know what could be done in communities?
Just think about the good you could do. And I hate it when guys on the internet are like, yes, but this knowledge, and yes, but they do good. And I'm like, you know what? Go hang out with your man friends, because I don't care right now. It's making me angry.
Me too.
But that's another podcast I don't have time to make. So I guess we'll get back to thrifting. This has been real fun, Brenda. Yay. I feel like I'm excited to. Oh, I do want to tell people that on your Instagram page, you do a show on Fridays. Will you tell us a little bit about your weekly show?
Yeah, so thank you. So every week I do a live show. It's called Talk is Chic. And I talk with creatives, people that are pursuing their creative passions in whatever manner that might be. And the whole idea was to give people a platform. People that don't have millions of followers, but people that are just still awesome. And people that were in my kind of immediate circle. I want other people to know who they are as well. And so it's just an opportunity to get to know them, get to know their story, know what they're passionate about. And the goal is to inspire other people to pursue their passions as well. So it's been a real just joy. I've met some really incredible people, and it's just absolutely fabulous.
Well, I'm excited about it, and I'm grateful that you invited me on the show.
Yes,
now,
ma'am.
It's on Fridays at noon, right? So that's the problem. I'm working usually at that time. So we're going to plan ahead, though, and I'm going to block that time off on my calendar, and we're going to make that happen.
Yeah, yeah, we definitely will. I definitely want to have more people meet you and know who you are as well.
The thrift community is the best community. I just want to put that out there again. And getting in contact with other thrifters is one of the great joys that I've had during the pandemic and beyond that. So thank you for connecting with me and bringing a little joy into my life.
Yes, well, thank you for having me. I really appreciate this opportunity to chat with you and get to know you a little bit better. We've been following each other, you know, for a while on Instagram, but it's great to actually talk to you.
Yeah, same. Now we got to do those thrift questions. Now these are more rapid fire, right? So we're just going to get to it and get through it. And then we're going to go on and, you know, see what's out there. Okay, here we go.
Okay. All right. All right.
How often do you thrift?
Used to be weekly, now it's like monthly.
Check on that sustainability goal. Good job. One project at a time or many all the time?
One. I get distracted and then I won't do anything. So one at a time.
All right. You're dedicated. I like that. Now, do you believe in the thrift gods?
As far as like some days it's really good and some days it's really bad?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yes. I like that. Yes, period. Yes, period. Same. Thrifting alone or with others?
Alone. I got to be able to repeat if I need to.
Oh, all right. Thrift repeat if you need to. I like it. Mm-hmm. Best or worst thrift story?
So my best thrift story is I was at a church rummage sale. It was 20 minutes before it was going to close. I saw this beautiful dress hanging up, but they wanted, I forget how much money they wanted, but I thought, nah, it's a dress I won't be able to wear, so I'll just forget about it. So I leave, I find out from the person I'm with, everything that they don't sell, they're going to give to the Goodwill. And I'm like, they cannot give that dress to the Goodwill. This was a dress that is, it's a, like a Titanic era dress. Oh. And so I'm like, oh no, I got to go back. I got to get her.
I got to save it.
I got to save her. And so I'm like, I have $20 in my hand. And I ran back there. And I'm like, how much is that dress? She's like, well, I'll give it to you for $100. She's like, oh no, wait a minute. It's 80% off now. I'll give it to you for $20. I'm like,
oh
sold.
My God. Thrift gods. Sold. Deal.
Yes.
Wrap it up. Wrap it up.
Yes,
wrap it up.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I have her on a mannequin in my home now. She's got a rip in her, but she's beautiful. She's absolutely beautiful.
That's like me. That's like a lot of us. I have a rip in me, but I'm beautiful. That's like, is that
yes.
like you too? I don't want to tell
yes,
you have a rip in you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes. Rips, tears, all kinds of stuff. Cracked
pot. We got
pot.
It. And yes. you're still beautiful.
Yes, so are you, Libby. Thank you so much.
This is the funnest. So I had a great time. I do want you to tell people where they can find you on the internet if that's something that you want to share. So if you've got any plugs right now, that'd be great.
So I have an Instagram page. It's The Chic City Girl. And then I also have a blog that I'm going to dust off and I'm going to get back, be more consistent, and it's thechiccitygirl.wordpress.com, and you can also find me on Pinterest too under the same name.
Okay.
Yep.
All right, well, we're going to put links to all of that in the show notes. So if I could get a picture of that dress on the mannequin, that'd
sure.
be great. I'll put it up on the website so you can, as listeners to the show, you can go over to the Thrift Therapy Pod website and you can look at all the show notes there. Of course, we'll have links in the podcast show notes as well, but I like to put pictures and content up on the website. So we'll get it done, and maybe we'll get a link for the True Cost documentary so you can check that out, and Brenda's favorite thrift store or favorite vintage store so that you can, if you're ever in the Chicago area, you can give them some props and go check out their curated content, see what they
fabulous.
Got.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, this is where we say goodbye, Brenda. Thanks again.
Okay. Thank you so much. I had a great time.
Woo! Thanks, everybody, for tuning in to Thrift Therapy. I will see you here again in 2 weeks, and we will talk more thrifting. In the meantime, don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. Tell a friend. And as always, stay thrifty. This podcast was created using Audacity. Original score created by Cody Crabb. Produced by Begin Anywhere, LLC.